Well, maybe that's not as fresh in your memory as the Super Bowl commercials from this year. That was one from just a few years past. But it makes the point. To what extent would you go to get what you really crave? Now, I know it's not very nice of us to have this smell of popcorn going on and Santee's eating it right in front of them, man. But so I'm just curious to know how many of you typically have a craving for popcorn. It's not just this morning. Raise your hand. We've got some popcorn folks in the house. You're going to see a few other things on the screen. Raise your hand if you identify with a craving for any of these things. So if it's not popcorn, then maybe it's ribs. Ribs, anybody? My husband would put a condition on it. He'd say it's a certain kind of ribs made by certain people at a certain time in a certain place. It's not just any old ribs. All right, how about chocolate? Lots of hands. This week I did an informal poll of people of what they crave, and I found, interestingly, that just as many men crave chocolate as women. I was surprised by that, but that was the case. How about oysters? Are you for real? Somebody said that this week and it just about made me gag, but she is not alone. Okay, some others crave it. What about cheesecake? Yep, I can identify with that one. Let's see what else we have here. Pizza, good piece of pizza. Yep, pizza's a good one. Salty and crunchy. Potato chips, anybody? Yeah, I got some of those. You ever had the chocolate-covered ones? They're really good. Ice cream. We've got ice cream place right around the corner from our house. Dangerous. Absolutely dangerous. And finally, what about a good old cup of coffee? Now, for this one, some of you may actually crave the taste of coffee, but there may be others in the house like me who's been up all night with a teething toddler who crave the effects of coffee. Anybody crave the effect? Yeah, that's more of a need than a desire for me at this point. Well, maybe I missed something that you typically crave. Just shout it out. What do you crave? Cookies, Pepsi, all kinds of things coming on here. Well, we are in week 5 of our 6-week series, 40 Days in the Word. And our prayer from the beginning has been that encountering God through His Word during this series would create within each one of us a craving for more of Him. This last week, my husband, Aaron, asked me, he said, "Hey, Kathy, what do you want for Valentine's Day this year?" Which was pretty proactive of him. We've been married 10 years. We celebrate our anniversary in a few weeks, and so we've learned a few things along the way. But my response to him was simply this: "Aaron, I want more of you. I want time with you. I want an uninterrupted evening with you. I want a date with you. I want a lunch with you. I just want more of you." And guys, I know what you're thinking. She's a woman, and in the back of her mind, she's going, "Plus some chocolates and some flowers and some..." No, I just want more of Him. And you know, I think that God is so honored when we get to a place spiritually, when it's not the blessings that we're desiring or the answered prayers, although He gives those things to us. But when we can honestly say, if God says, "What do you want from me?" for us to say in the deepest place in our soul, "God, I just want you. I just want more of you. I want time with you. All I desire is you." Today's scripture speaks to that need, that desire for God and God alone. It prompts us to peel back the layers of our heart and ask ourselves the tough question: to what extent do we really crave God? If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, where we'll be spending some time today. Just two verses, 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Over 1,300 of you have been participating in life groups over this 40 days in the Word, and we've been getting some great teaching on Bible study methods. And this last week, the method we were practicing is the paraphrase it method of taking some verses and putting them into your own words. So I asked some Casey Sears to paraphrase this morning's text, and I thought it was very helpful to really think about what these verses mean. Listen to a few of these. "You've had a taste of God. He is what you should crave and the one who will produce growth in your life. You can only be satisfied by him, just like a newborn can only be satisfied with milk. Or this one's shorter, gets right to the point. Once Christians have experienced the Lord for themselves, they should hunger for the word of God to grow spiritually. Or this one, just as a newborn baby attaches to the mother for nourishment, fix your minds and hearts on God so that you may grow and mature in his character. And then this one, I like this one. If you want to grow up spiritually, feast on the good stuff of the Lord. You've already tasted it, and you know you want more. Love it. Will you join me for a word of prayer before we dive into this text? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Create in us a craving for you, for meeting you through your word. God, open our hearts to the truth you have specifically for us today. May it land at a deep place within us and change us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, I think a little bit of background on 1 Peter would be helpful before we get into these couple of verses. Peter wrote this letter to churches that were scattered and churches that were experiencing all kinds of other influences in their day-to-day life, all kinds of other cultural influences. And many of them were experiencing real suffering in the midst of it. Not all that different from our experience, right? We have all kinds of influences coming at us. Many of you in seasons of suffering. And so Peter wrote this letter for two purposes. He first of all wrote it to challenge these growing Christians to invest in their own spiritual health, their own spiritual vibrancy. And he gives an urgency to this challenge of saying that if you are not investing in your own spiritual health, then you as a Christian community cannot remain strong in the midst of trials. So there's a challenge element to it. But it's not just challenge, it's this encouragement that Peter extends, this encouragement, this hope that he gives that they are going to have a future in heaven. Jesus is going to come back to sometime. They're going to see him face to face. And between now and then, God has given them everything they need to persevere. So there's this hope and this challenge, which is reflected in the first chapter of 1 Peter. He extends the hope to them, and then he gives a specific challenge to be holy or to become like Christ. And that's where we pick it up in the second chapter. He goes from this challenge to be holy to getting real practical on what that looks like. If you back up to the first verse, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. These are just categories for sin. He's saying, you and the Holy Spirit need to clean house. You need to rid yourselves of any desires that you have for things that are other than God that lead to sin. And we all know that when you are getting rid of a bad habit in your life, you can't just get rid of the old. You need to replace it with something new, with something positive. And so that's where the command we're focusing on today comes in. It's not enough to rid yourself of the desires that lead to sin, but we must replace it with a desire for one thing, and that is God and God alone. And Peter makes the point that nothing else satisfies. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, the word of God. Now, I don't know how lately you have been around a hungry newborn. It's not a pretty sight. This picture is not an exaggeration. I have in my memory when Kylea, our three-year-old now, was first born. I was a new mom. I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know that I wasn't producing enough milk to nourish her. So she was basically hungry the entire first month of her life. And she cried constantly. And I just thought that's what newborn babies do. I mean, no cuddling, no bouncy chair, no special song. Nothing would satisfy the longing that we weren't understanding that she was having. We took her to the doctor and she wasn't growing. And the doctor used that phrase that no new parent wants to hear associated with their child. She said, this might be a case of failure to thrive. Oh. Well, eventually we figured out what was going on. We got that kid some food and she was a happy camper and we started getting sleep and life got much better at that point. But you know, if a steady intake of God's word is not the primary nourishment for your soul, you are in danger of your spirit being described as failure to thrive. You know, we had fun with talking about our cravings for food. And if you think really about it, if you don't get that piece of pizza today, it's not the end of the world, right? That kind of speaks to a first definition of craving, this thing. It's something that you really, really want, something you'd love to have. But Peter here is talking about the second definition of craving, that this is a requirement for our souls. Our souls need a personal encounter with God, which most typically happens through meeting Him and spending time in His Word. Now, there are lots of things out there that promise to nourish our souls, aren't there? I mean, watch some commercials, read some things. There's all kinds of things that promise to feed our deepest longings. I don't know what your soul is crying out for this morning. Maybe your soul is crying out for peace. Maybe your soul is crying out for purpose. Maybe your soul is crying out for protection. And I just want you to know that nothing else can satisfy the cries of your heart except God. And so often the way that He meets us in those places is through encountering Him in His Word. We make choices every day what we will consume spiritually. And some of those choices are the pure spiritual milk of God's Word, which feed our soul. But some of those choices are feeding ourselves with something else, and the effect is very different. I want you to think about that for the next few moments as this video is going. What in this current season of life are you really looking to feed your soul? Check this out. Identify with your reaction to the disgusting spoiled milk. But I want to ask you a hard question. Do you have that kind of reaction when you feed your soul something that is spoiled and disgusting? They ask the question, which would you choose? I want to ask you the question, which one are you choosing in your life right now? The websites you go to, the people you hang around, the social environments that you find yourselves in, the books that you are reading, the music that you are listening to. Is it spoiled and disgusting? Or is the pure spiritual milk founded on nothing but the Word of God? You see, nothing else satisfies the longings of our souls. Well, the whole purpose of a craving isn't just for us to sit around and crave things. A craving prompts us to action. A craving demands a response. And that's what we get to in the second part of verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You see, God's word is food for growth in our lives. Now, I want us to slow down and take this phrase by phrase. So that. This is this henna clause we talk about sometimes. It's saying God doesn't just want us to crave. He wants it to lead to a greater result, a bigger result. So that. So there's action involved. Then the phrase, by it. Now you're thinking, what's in that? It is referring to the pure spiritual milk. And this is so important. The phrase, by it, means that it is not, spending time in God's Word is not the destination. It's the vehicle that gets us to the ultimate destination of intimacy with Christ, to the destination of looking like Christ, of acting like Christ, of thinking like Christ, of loving God completely, of loving others unconditionally. That is the destination. We're not worshiping a Bible. We're worshiping the God who wrote it and the God who promises to meet us as we encounter Him through it. So spending time in God's Word is simply the vehicle that gets us from the craving for God to the reality in our life of intimacy with Him and Him alone. Now this phrase, grow up in your salvation, don't let that scare you. He's not talking here about earning our salvation. Salvation is a free gift given to us when we accept Christ into our lives. But when we begin the Christian journey, we got a lot of growing up to do. We've got some sins to work through. We've got some truths to claim and live out. We have a whole new identity of Christ that we begin to grow up into. So growth is the result of spending time in God's Word. Some of you may be asking, Kathy, I get it that the Bible is the vehicle. It's that car that's going to get me to this destination. But if I'm really honest, I don't know how to turn the key. I don't know how to get those wheels rolling. That's why we've been studying Bible study methods in our life groups these 40 days in the Word. We want to equip you to be able to study God's Word for yourself. We want you with confidence to turn that key and get those wheels rolling as you pursue personal spiritual growth. We've been sitting under some great teaching of Rick Warren in our life groups through DVD. And there are a couple things that he has said that have been real practical in helping us understand how to grow through studying God's Word. I want to share a couple of those with you. One of them is this. No one can read your Bible for you. It's the truth. I mean, think about it. If you sat down and watched someone eat this amazing meal, you wouldn't leave feeling full unless you picked up the fork yourself and took in some of the food, right? Or if you heard someone share about this great meal they just had and how full they were after eating it, you wouldn't expect for your physical body to be satisfied by hearing them talk about it, would you? In the same way, it'd be ridiculous to think that anyone can be nourished by God's Word and for you to claim that as your nourishment. No one can read your Bible for you. It's the truth. Another truth that he reminded us of is it's not enough to have fly-by readings of Scripture and expect to grow. You know, the kind of, yep, got it, all right, cool, God, here we go. It doesn't work that way. That doesn't turn the key. We need to slow down and digest the Word of God to get every bit of nutrients that's in it for our souls. Rick Warren said that it's that we need to ruminate on God's Word. Now, that's not a word we hear very often, is it? It makes you think of a cow chewing its cud. Ever seen a cow do that? I grew up next to a dairy farm. I got plenty of it. It's pretty disgusting, actually. What a cow does is it eats its food, chews it, swallows it, and a few moments later it comes right back up and he chews it again and he swallows it. And this happens time and time again. And the cow gets every bit of nutrients out of that hay or out of that feed. That's what we are to do with the Word of God. We're to read it and then reread it. We're to pray it back to God. We're to reflect on it and consider its connection to our current life. And then we're to pray and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, figure out how to apply that truth to our life. Sometimes it involves memorizing it. We are to ruminate on the Word of God if we are to expect the result of growth as we spend time in it. Well, some of you may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, all right, I want to grow, but if I'm real honest, I don't feel that craving that you're talking about. I don't have this feeling of, woohoo, can't wait to go spend time in God's Word. And that feeling is there. I'm just not feeling it today. And that poses a problem for us, doesn't it? Because how do you create a craving? I mean, is that something that we can really manufacture? How do we create a craving? We only crave something if we have experienced it, if we've tasted it, and we have found it to be good. We have found it to be absolutely irresistible. And when that happens, then this craving begins to well up within us. Verse 3 is the key for us to understand how this craving can happen inside of us. It says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This goes back to Psalm 34:8, which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. An invitation to a personal encounter with God. You see, once you have tasted the goodness of God, you can't help but have a craving within you for more of Him. Some of you may be wondering why I have this visor up here. It has Penn Station on it. Anybody realize the new Penn Station restaurant's just around the corner where the old Cava House used to be? And we have a Casey Sear who works there now and who let me borrow her visor. But there was a Penn Station right around the corner from where I lived in Ohio years ago. In fact, it was just around the corner where Aaron lived, and we were engaged at the time, so that's where we spent most of our time. And this was our favorite hangout spot, our favorite place to go to eat was Penn Station. So when I saw the sign go up that a Penn Station was going to go right around the corner from the church, my mouth started watering, and I started thinking about that chicken teriyaki sub with the tender chicken and the melted cheese and the sautéed onions and mushrooms in fresh baked bread that's chewy on the outside and soft on the inside, and then the fries, and I'm not even a fry person typically, but these are some fries. They make them with the potatoes right in front of you. They're not greasy, but they're kind of crunchy, and they have malt vinegar that you sprinkle over it with just a touch of ketchup to make it perfect. And so every time I would go by this sign for this restaurant that wasn't open yet, all this was going on inside of me. I didn't have to manufacture it. My mouth just started watering every time I drove by the sign. And it was just about getting the best of me. And so I sent an email out to the whole church staff. I said, does anybody know when this Penn Station is opening? If you're wondering what staff communicates about during the week, don't worry. It's usually spiritual stuff, but sometimes it's food related. And this time it was. And I was so mystified by the responses I got from people. They were things like, oh, is there something new going in where Cava House used to be? I'm like, how could you not know this? And things like, oh, isn't it just another sub shop? And I'm like, no, it's not just another sub shop. And somebody said, well, I was kind of curious what was going on there. And I thought, people, how could you be so laissez-faire about a Penn Station being right there? And then I realized it. They'd never tasted the goodness of Penn Station. They weren't familiar with it. And because I had tasted the goodness, because I had experienced it for myself, all this anticipation and all this craving was welling up within me. Do you see what we're getting at here? Only once you have tasted the goodness of God does that craving fill you and prompt you to action. Now that you've heard God speak to you personally, you want to hear from Him again. Now that God has guided you in an important decision that you have made, you desire to seek His guidance again. Now that God has used you to draw someone to Him, you can't wait for Him to use you again. Now that you've experienced biblical community, maybe for the first time during these 40 days in the Word, and you sense this synergy and this encouragement from being surrounded by other believers, you want to experience it again. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, you want to go back for more. You can't help but go back for more. You see, this feeding on God's Word isn't meant to just be an experience here, an experience there. It's meant to be a way of life. Let me tell you my fear about 40 days in the Word. I fear that KCC has set out a six-week buffet of God's Word. And y'all are feasting on it, and it is so good, and you're saying it's great. But then when we get to day 41, my fear is that folks will say, boy, that was a good meal. And then you'll be able to just kind of graze, kind of snack, eat here or there until KCC lays out another big buffet in the fall. That's not the way it is meant to be. Our prayer is that 40 days in the Word isn't just a six-week deal, but that it's a launching pad for us as a congregation. That it's the beginning of a new era in which we make feeding on God's Word a way of life. So what are you going to do come day 41? What is your next step to make feeding on God's Word, to make pursuing spiritual growth a way of life? We want to walk alongside of you with that. You may have noticed in your family news that there's a form like this. Pull it out. It's blue ink. It says, what's next at the top? This is our spring personal discipleship plan sheet. And we encourage you to take a look at all of the options, all of the discipleship environments, all of the inputs that you could put into your life to help you make feeding on God's Word a way of living. And some of this you may just continue to do. Others, it may be a new step, a next step. But we ask that you check whatever applies to you and you let us in on it so that we can encourage you and help you get further connected to discipleship environments. Now, I know how these things work. You say, oh yeah, I probably should do that. And then you put it under the seat in your car and you forget it, or it ends up on a stack at home. So I'm just going to say, you know, you and God have been doing this thing. Fill it out today. Drop it off at KCC Central on your way out. Take care of it. Decide what your next step is going to be. Someone asked me this morning about the classes. The titles are on here, but the descriptions are not. So you can pick up the full class descriptions at KCC Central if you're interested in a more full explanation of what some of those classes may be. For those of you who are taking part in a life group for 40 days in the Word, this week every life group is going to take some time right in your life group experience to talk about these, for you to fill one out and turn into your group leader if you haven't already this weekend. Well, I kind of left you hanging about the whole Penn Station thing. Did you know that it opened last Tuesday? And I was excited to find out, and Rhonda and I had kind of made a deal that on its opening day, we would go together. Well, she had a crazy schedule that day, and I had a crazy schedule that day, so it ended up that we had to do an early lunch. So 11:05, we were walking into Penn Station, and guess who the first official customer of the new Penn Station around the corner is? Yours truly. I know. They cheered when we walked in. It was pretty cool. And they were fighting over who got to serve us, who got to help us. And I was first in line. Rhonda was second. Not that I need all that glory, but I just want you to know the facts. And my name was associated with the order. And it was best case scenario because I got the cheering and I got the name on the order. And I was the first official customer and Rhonda paid for it. Perfect. Was great. I will say that I shared part of the glory. We both got to sign a crisp dollar bill that is posted now in the restaurant for being the first customers. Great experience. But Rhonda said something really interesting before we went. In fact, it's what prompted her to say, hey, I'll go with you. She said, I don't want to go there for the first time by myself or just with someone else who hasn't been there before. I want to go with you because you've experienced it. And you can help me figure out what is good and what to order. I want you to go with me so you can help me have a good first experience. You know what that made me think about? It made me think about the fact that in each of our worlds, there are people curious about the Lord. There are people who've never tasted the goodness of God, and they are just waiting for an opportunity. They are just waiting for an invitation from you and an invitation from me to say, hey, come along. I'll help you navigate the menu. I'll help you have a good first time experience. I want you to join me in tasting the goodness of the Lord. That gets at our definition of discipleship here at KCC, which is this. It's the Word of God in conjunction with the Spirit of God bringing about life change, but it doesn't end there. So that we might impact others. You see, when we've tasted that the Lord is good, it is so much bigger than just you and God or just you and me. Within that, there is potential for God to use us so that more and more people might taste that He is good. Well, some of you may know that I spent my first 10 years in ministry, in student ministries, with middle school students and high school students. A few weeks ago, as I was meeting with some of the high school leaders here, I shared a story with them that I want to share with you as well. It was my fourth year in youth ministry, and I had a freshman girl in our ministry whose name was Katie, and she was so annoying. She had no self-awareness. So what you see is what you get, and no filter in terms of what came out of her mouth. What was here came out here at the most inopportune times. So we'd be in the middle of an intense Bible study right about for some breakthroughs. I was convinced, and Katie would say, don't fries sound good? Anybody else want some fries? I mean, she'd just kill it, you know? Or we'd be in the middle of prayer, and we'd be praying, and students would be praying, and she'd say, hey, Kathy, can we stop praying for a second? I don't know who's going to take me home tonight. I mean, it was just that kind of thing over and over again. I ended up taking a group of students to Tijuana, Mexico, to an orphanage for a spring break trip. And wouldn't you know it was a bunch of juniors and seniors and Katie. And so Katie was my shadow for the week. I mean, if I was going to the bathroom, I knew she was two steps behind me. She'd have to go too. Like, she was just with me constantly, and it was really starting to kind of grate on me. And so I snuck out of dinner early one night, intentionally, so Katie would not see me. And I went up onto the roof of this orphanage with my Bible. And I was just craving some alone time with God and His Word. And I was so looking forward to it. And I had just gotten my Bible open, and I hear behind me, hey, Kathy, what you doing? And I was just about ready to say, Katie, I need some time alone. And then those stories came to my mind of the crowds pressing in on Jesus when He was about to withdraw to a quiet place. And He took the time to minister to their needs before He did that. And I thought, oh, Lord, are you serious? But He was. And so I'll admit my attitude wasn't the best. But I said, come on, Katie, come on. Why don't we read God's Word together? Why don't we just, read? And I just did what I was going to do on my own. We read God's Word together. We talked about it a little bit. We prayed together. And to be honest with you, I had completely forgotten about that experience. A few months after that trip, I left that church to move from Ohio to California to go to seminary. Lost track of Katie. And 10 years later, since I've been here, I get a letter in the mail. Guess who it's from? It's Katie. And 9 times out of 10, you never hear the rest of the story. But what a gift to me that I got this letter. Here's what the letter said. She said, Kathy, you probably don't know this, but 10 years ago on a rooftop in Mexico, I gave my life to Christ. I'd never tasted how good God is, and something changed in me when we were reading the Bible together, and I couldn't explain it that day, but it was a game changer for me. Everything changed in my world after that moment on the rooftop. And then she went on to share with me that she had a calling to ministry. And she was in the middle of an internship, a youth ministry internship at a church. And she was getting ready to send out resumes to see where God would take her for her first youth pastor job. And I read that letter and just tears of knowing that even when we are not in the best place ourselves, God chooses to use us. Once we have tasted that God is good, we have no choice but to help others experience that goodness too. And you will never believe some of the most unlikely candidates are the ones that God wants you to bring along for the journey, that they too might taste that He is good. Will you join me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your presence. God, we crave more of You. God, I pray for those in this room right now, God, who honestly say, I don't crave Him right now. God, I pray that You would prompt them to reflect on Your goodness in their lives. I pray that You would bring to their minds the blessings that You have given them, the ways that You have met them in points of desperation, the ways that You have brought them out of the pit to a better place, O Lord, and help them to remember the goodness of You in their lives, that that craving might well up within them. God, I pray for each one of us as we consider what You would have next for us after 40 days in the Word. God, I pray that we not be distracted, that we not procrastinate, Lord. I pray that we might seek You to know what those next steps of growth might be, that we can make feeding on Your Word a way of life. God, I pray for those in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our families, God, who've never tasted Your goodness. Lord, help us not just to be content with our own personal spiritual growth. Lord, even put someone in our mind today that we can invite to join us in the journey, that they too might taste how good You really are and want to come back for more. God, we love You. We're so thankful for You, and we crave You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Will you stand as we close together today? I'm just curious, anybody not have lunch plans? Anybody want to try out the new Penn Station? Anybody? Morgan right here, she just got baptized. I think that's worth a free lunch today. Here's a gift certificate. Absolutely. Now, the deal is you have to tell me what you think, all right? You're going to find out the goodness of it all, I promise. Well, just a reminder to all of you that today is a Discover KCC weekend. So if you are newer to KCC, just a brief time for us to get to know you a little bit and for you to have an opportunity to ask your questions of the church. Well, part of 40 Days in the Word, each week is a memory verse. And I hope that you have been taking part in that part of this journey of memorizing verses each week. I have to tell you something before we read this week's memory verse together. Wednesday is my day off. I was home with my little girls, and sometimes you just say what you're thinking, and I went, oh, I haven't memorized this week's verse yet. And my three-year-old looked at me and went, the Bible is God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I thought, that was her verse for the week. I've just been schooled by a three-year-old. And so if she can do it, so can you, and so can I. So let's read this week's memory verse together before we are dismissed. Let's read it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And with that, have a blessed day. You are dismissed.